Chapter 15. No Turning Back. 8 months down the track from separation, I started to calm down and think more clearly. At the ripe old age of 47, the storm was beginning to pass. I realised finding land and building a place was a pipe dream. I couldn't even buy the land, let alone do all the work and put all the amenities and then build it. This would mean another mortgage that I couldn't afford. I had to cut back, so I started looking in town. The kids were not keen. They had only known a rural lifestyle. However, we found a gorgeous little home in Nelson Street, Hastings, and after 6 months of renting, we moved into our four-bedroomed home with a big garden big enough for Buster, our black Labrador, to run around in. My dream of being mortgage-free was finally realised. Arthur could bike to school and Martha could bike to the pony, which was now back at a friend's. This was a wonderful and truly blessed time. I was still struggling to make ends meet, as I really needed to work full time. I called the director for Tupperware New Zealand, who I'd worked with previously. She just happened to be in the area and could meet for coffee the next day. Perfect timing. Hawke's Bay Tupperware was struggling, and they needed a manager. I said I would give her a year, get it back up and running, replace myself, and move on. She was up for it. A win-win-win for us all. Tupperware soon picked up. I had a full diary of parties in the evenings and the company car within a month. I did exactly what I said I would do, taking out the top new team award at conference and setting Hawke's Bay up for success. Two amazing ladies stepped up as managers at this time and took the team from strength to strength, one of whom has stayed with them right the way through until Tupperware pulled out of New Zealand towards the end of 2022. This was a great fill-in while I negotiated full-time work. The board decided, after verbally agreeing to take on another school, that Project K was too high risk for them, and they would rather invest in the Kiwi Ken program. To be fair, I was too high risk for them at this time, so my hours were not going to increase. It was time to get a full-time job, and that meant going back to where I started, where I had thrived, back into a role I could do standing on my head, retail management. I applied for a few management roles, from deputy manager in a rural retail company, where I was interviewed by one of Alexander's friends, to a department store as an assistant manager's role. Their HR manager called me to find out more and felt a deputy or store manager's role would be more suitable to my skill set, and thankfully for my finances too. After 4 interviews, I was offered the opportunity of store manager in Napier. Wow, there's nothing like being out of your comfort zone. I had been out of retail for 15 years. In that time, I'd had my children, emigrated to New Zealand, and spent my whole time growing and developing people, from teaching at Pony Club for 8 years, using all the skills I'd learned growing up in riding school, to 7 years with Project K working with 120 mentors and students. To my surprise, the job I thought I could do standing on my head was not going to be long-term for me. The regional manager had employed me to turn the store around. He made it plain that the previous manager had been there for 18 years and it was time to clear out the dead wood and bring in some fresh faces, me being one of them. He also made it quite clear that some people only stay for a couple of years. I was initially gutted when the existing deputy managers walked away in the first 3 months. Both of them chose to run their own businesses, which was awesome for them. However, it left me with a serious lack of knowledge and support in the business. No worries. We got the right people in and a full team of externals. Within 9 months, there was a clear succession plan. The operations manager would step into my shoes, one of the sales managers would step into his, and the ball started to roll with an amazingly talented full-time member of staff who could step up into the sales manager role. It was a win-win-win situation. I had a blast working with the people, not so much with the logistics. I was there to do one job, clear out, and turn the store's people around. That was absolutely my bag. Job done in 12 months. Arthur and Martha were both in regional representative teams for hockey. Martha was in the last batch of under-11s, which practiced 9 to 11, and Arthur was in the under-13s, which practiced 11 to 1. Both were on Sundays, so going to church was not an option. However, there was one Sunday where there was a tournament on, and Arthur didn't need to be there until 1. I was engaged to Kev by this time, and I knew how important church was to both Kev and his son Jasper. This was my window of opportunity to go and support them. We snuck in at the back. The place was packed. Kev had warned me that if it may go on a while, as I had a guest speaker. He knew I was used to the preparatory school chapels, where you went in and out within half an hour. This was my expectation. So there we were singing. Surprisingly, I really liked the songs. They weren't the traditional ones I was used to. And the kids started messaging me about 10:15. How's it going? My reply, we're still singing. Same again at 10:25. How's it going, Mum? We're still singing. And then at 10:40, how's it going? My reply, the guys have just started talking. By 11 a.m, he had started to have words for people. I was so cynical. Each time he spoke to people, I was thinking, oh yeah, she could have told him that at dinner last night. And that's easy way to pick up. You could know that. And then he said, and you, sir, at the back, what's your name? That was not what I was expecting. And it was a bit close for comfort. He was talking to Kev. And who are you with? Kev replied, my son, Jasper, who was in the sound desk, and my fiancé, Sally. Brilliant. The whole church turned round. So my little plan to sit quietly at the back, where I couldn't be noticed, just got blown out of the water. None of them knew Kev even had a girlfriend, let alone a fiancé. To cut a very long story short, Tony Saxon had some words for me. The words that really resonated were the words of knowledge. He said, about a year ago, you really wanted to go to an island, but for some reason you couldn't. No one on this planet knew how I had spent that first weekend when my children went off to their dads. I desperately wanted to go home to England to be with my family, and I couldn't. How did this man that I had never met know that? Tony then continued to let me know there would be a big celebration in March and I would go on that trip. The only thing I remembered was that no one knew how wrecked I was during the split and how desperately I wanted to go home to the UK, an island. I had no idea what prophecy was or how this man knew my innermost, deepest desires of my heart. But this was a turning point for me. God got my attention at that moment. I left the service early to get Arthur to hockey and then popped back to Tony for his words to thank him. Weird, as I would normally just have gone on to the next meeting, but I had a real sense to go back. Hockey season ended, and every Sunday I went to learn more and to support Kev and Jasper in their thing. I came out every week spitting tacks. I can't believe he said this or that. That's not God. Oh my goodness. Did I have an opinion or what? Poor Kev had to take me for coffee after every service while I kicked off and calmed down before I went home to my kids. I still remember the pastor's comment about two kids and the nice home and the picket fence, which is exactly what I had back in England. I took offence every week at what was being preached. I have so much to thank God and Cliff Cherry for, as between them, they nailed a whole heap of ugly stuff to the cross without me even knowing. Every week I would work through my offence. It was never about the person speaking, it was always about me. Not that I knew that at the time. Get it sorted and then go back for more the following week. Funny, it's only now that I look back that I see the pattern. I was oblivious to this at the time. I was so grateful when it was hockey season and I had 5 months off. Except after 2 weeks, I realised I was missing the singing, the people, and the message to consider for the week. It was crazy. That hockey season finished, and I never missed another Sunday again. I'd found my home, my family, and my place. In the place that I had been so rude about, and still have my moments. With people I looked down on and mocked. Who would have known but God? Reflect and reframe. Offence is a shocker. It can take us from winning in the game of our lives to being completely out of our game. It can keep us trapped in unforgiveness, where we are literally dying inside, piece by piece, every day, without knowing. When we're wrapped up in our own world and being self-righteous, We can get ourselves into some real pickles rather than being self-aware and centred on what is right, noble and true. Offence is what held me back from walking into my calling almost every time. It places me back into victim mode, in defence corner, and in fear mode. It put me on edge and ready to attack anyone or anything that came across my path. It is one of the enemy's number one tools to keep us trapped and locked away in our own mental prison. The worst part of it all is that we are, generally speaking, completely unaware. However, as I see it now, every fence round the paddock has a gate. And every week, God would work out of me the hurt and pain that was causing the offence, and I would walk through the gate. The funniest thing, looking back, is I had no idea that this was happening. Every week I would go back for another round, not realising I'd already been in the ring the week before. Nuts. I now say, oh, the fence. Let me go and see if I can find the gate. The gate is a crossover point from unforgiveness to forgiveness, from pain to joy, from being trapped to freedom. While I can't read the label from inside the jar, I can check in with my feelings. I can get tripped up with feelings of anger or frustration, wanting to point the finger at someone else when it needs to turn the corner and point back at me. I am so grateful that my emotions are signs to show me whether I am on the right track or not. I get to consider and respond. The old Sally lived by them, like a pinball in a pinball machine, bouncing back all over the place from emotion to emotion until I was exhausted. I firmly believe that the wisdom and insights I have been sharing in this book will bring you to a place of complete freedom, peace, and joy. You have nothing to fear from the world around you, nothing to worry about, nothing to stress about or be anxious about, unless you decide to invite them in. Being aware of the offence and how ruthless it is, bringing disconnection, judgment and condemnation, rather than connection, compassion and understanding, have been massive for me. I pray that as you take this time to think, consider and ponder over your journey of adventure, your mind will be renewed and you too will be free to be the awesome person that you're called to be. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Romans 12:2 NIV. Dear reader, I encourage you to consider who you have an issue with right now. Who is getting under your skin? Who is ruffling your feathers? Who is wrong when you are right? It is good to write it down so you can see it for what it really is. It is good to then sit and rest in this. I ask God, what am I not seeing here? What heart posture do I need to change? Where's the gate? I have been absolutely amazed at the answers I have written down and the peace, rest, grace, and favour this has brought. If you are a verbal processor like me, it may be helpful to discuss it with people you trust, who are ahead of you or on your journey of discovery and adventure. Not to take it any further, but to gain clarity, wisdom, and insight. What I need in these moments is to be able to understand and move forward. Not to have people agree with me or go and share it with others and make it worse. Kev, Ken, and Lynette, over this time, have totally been my go-tos. I am so grateful to them for their kindness and compassion as I kick off because there's something else I need to work through. It's about going to one or two people who you respect, who will ask the right questions of you so that you can see a new perspective, a bigger picture, find your peace, and again, move on. Call to adventure. My life has changed dramatically. I feel so loved, chosen, safe, and abundantly blessed. Everything I lost or never had was restored. and I am now in alignment. I was a divorcee with no family, no authority, and no love, desperately trying to make things work. This is a journey, not a destination. It is a process, and it takes time. For now, I hope that this is watering the good seeds in your heart, ones of hope and of a future. There is more to life than what we see in front of us. I continue to be a work in progress, but I'm loving the adventure each and every day brings. This was a season of faith over fear. I encourage you to consider, who or what are you angry or frustrated by? Where are you feeling wounded, hurt, or misunderstood? Where are you hitting a brick wall? Who are you blaming or using to justify your actions? Now is a really cool time to pause, breathe, and think of someone or something that brings you real joy. Rest in that, laugh, and bring yourself back into the now. In love and peace, with patience and kindness and compassion, so you can think clearly and respond rather than react. Inheritance scriptures. Graham Cook recently took us through some teaching around our inheritance scriptures, the words or passages in the Bible that really ring true to us. I was immediately taken to Psalm 23. This in itself is a crack-up, as I know the words in my heart. I can rarely tell you where Bible words come from, but this one I knew. For those of you who are Christians or familiar with the Bible, I encourage you to ask God what your inheritance scripture is. Ask Him to show you how this relates to you and your journey together. For those of you who are not on this journey yet, walk with me as I reveal my journey in this space with you. I pray that it will help you to gain an inspiring perspective into the new identity and into the true nature of God. The first thing that God showed me was the beautiful meadow I played in once with my brother and family friend when I was 10. Just before our lives shifted and changed, I remember laughing so much I couldn't run very fast. I remember the sun shining and it being a perfect summer's day in the UK. I remember a picnic, the birds were singing, and I had no cares or worries. I was completely free. About 6 months ago, an amazing lady, Zelda Cronje, did an exercise with us at a ladies' event. She asked us where Jesus was. For me, he was right behind me. Then I felt him massage my shoulders. This was gold, as I had a lot of tension in my shoulders. Then I was in that meadow laughing and running. I was like a child running away from my dad or older brother, laughing so much as I knew he'd catch up. I felt him hold my hand, just as he had and he had been throughout my life. I was safe. I had nothing to fear. The angel of the Lord was here. And there I was in Psalm 23. As I read this psalm recently, I realized that this was one of my favorite hymns at school. One of the ones I would sing along the hallways or on my walks. Let me read it to you. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's Psalm 23 NIV. And in my book here, I have also put in The Lord is My Shepherd, and the lyrics are by W. Whittingham and F. Rouse, arranged by Jesse Seymour Irvine in 1836 to 1887. And the hymn that I used to sing, The Lord Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie in pastures green. He leadeth me the quiet waters by. My soul he doth restore again, and me to walk doth make within the paths of righteousness, in for his own name's sake. Yea, though I walk in death's dark vale, yet will I fear no ill, for thou art with me, and thy rod and staff me comfort still. My table thou hast furnished in presence of my foes. My head thou dost with oil anoint, and my cup overflows. Goodness and mercy all my life shall surely follow me, and in God's house forevermore my dwelling place shall be. I share these with you to inspire you, to give you hope and a future, and help you step out in faith to become the mighty man or woman of God you're called to be. The last part of Tony's words for me were, this may be brand new to you. This is the calling to be the woman of God you are meant to be. Continue to press into God. Who is Jesus to you? I feel like this is a whole new experience to you. I'm encouraging you. Saxton, 2017. I encourage you to consider these words for yourself. In the next few chapters, I will share with you the phenomenal difference leaning in has made into my life and how prosperity and abundance has flowed from this place and joy. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust had eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust, my great army which I sent among you. You shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God, who has dwelt wondrously with you. Joel 2:25-32. That's the New King James Version.